Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, a World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners. No prisoners. 1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter, broker here at Daniels Trading, a StoneX company. We work with broker-assisted clients, managed products, online trading, spec and hedge. If you have any questions about what we're doing, please feel free to give me a call. If you're a client and like what we're talking about or think it'd be good idea for your account, my number here is 800-958-9470, or shoot me an email. If you're not a client and you want to know more about what we do and how you can work with us, feel free to reach out to me. And all my contact information is in the show notes. If you want to check out Turner's Take, you can go to turnerstake.com, or you to see the newsletter, you can also text number 33777 with the message Turner. And if you like the podcast, please feel free to send it along to anyone you might think would like it. All right, so let's dive into the most recent news, which would be the WASD and where we think prices are going forward. I'm going to bring up also my supply and demand tables for new crop and old crop and new crop soybeans and corn. So on the corn side, probably the big surprise yesterday was yield coming down to 172 from 175 and 0.8, I think. So that was a big cut in production. I think what surprised everyone also was the reduction in exports, which I think was a little bit of a head-scratcher. They did cut Argentine and South American corn production, which came in, which was probably as expected. And then when you take a look at the ending stocks, are about 1.3, 1.4 billion. That's where I have mine. The USDA is 1.5 billion. Oh, and also the DS1 ending stocks, which is a quarterly report, also came out. And that was lower. That was beat all expectations by 300 million bushels. So let's talk about what that all means. Corn ended up being limit up, and then in the overnight, gapping up also. And I think today we closed, after being limit up, we closed today. March was up 7. So overall, 32 cents higher. Margin's only 1,200, so 24 cents. That's pretty appropriate. Margin for corn should be whatever the limit move is now. And that's about, should be 1250. Soybeans limit is 70 cents. I'm going to just guess the exchange eventually makes that the margin, whatever the limit move is. Right now we're at about almost 3,000. It's 2,900. I would expect that to go to 3,500 to represent the 70 cents on a limit in soybeans now that we're up at these prices. As we go forward, what are we looking at? With corn, you got to think production is going to come down a little bit more in South America. And then the big question is, what does that mean for exports, right? And where we finish up in ending stocks, and I don't think we'll be at 1.5 billion, I think we'll be closer to 1.2 or 1.3, is we'll just continue to see exports shift over to the U.S. Why the USDA kept it there, I'm not too sure. It's a bit of a head scratcher for all of us. You could make the case, maybe at the back end of this year, we have a United States really grows a ton of new crop acres for corn, and so does Ukraine and basically the Northern Hemisphere. And then, you know, you can make the argument, you know, May, June, July, August, people will hold off on buying corn from the U.S. as they wait for a new crop where price rationing is effective and it puts off that kind of demand. Because also, too, you got to think cattle, right? What we're seeing now in the cattle industry is you're going to see guys on the feedlots just not feed anymore, bring that, basically go to slaughter. We'll have more production on the livestock side. And what that means too is we're gonna have less animals to feed in the middle of the year and the end of the year in for basically poor hogs and cattle. So I can start, and that's how price rationing works, right? And you can kind of wonder, you know, not only does that work domestically, that also works on the export side. You know, people are buying corn for export, for feed. At what point in foreign nations do they stop buying corn for feed because their beef prices and hog prices get too expensive and their margins don't make sense anymore? So that's just a shot in the dark. It was the best thing I could come up with on why the WASDE may not have wanted to increase those exports. Regardless, I don't even if that's the story at the end of the day, Argentina is still probably going to come down, and we haven't in production, and we haven't hit a price rationing point yet that we know of in corn. Maybe we are here in the mid fives, and now that we're at five or the low fives, maybe now that we're 5.25 in March, and maybe that is the price rationing point between 5 and 5.50. We'll just have to keep an eye on the exports. If exports stay strong, that export number will go up. If not, and that's the price rationing point, you know, we know we found an equilibrium from now for the corn market. Regardless of that, I'm going to talk about new crop corn because I do get questions about what are we going to do now, right? You know, with old crop. For the old crop, we've been long the $5, $5.50 spreads. I've been short some put spreads. These aren't trade recs. You can't give a trade rec on social media, whether it be a podcast or a radio interview and whatnot. But I can give our positions, and I can also tell you to give me a call if you want to, if you're interested in something like that. All right, just had to throw that out there for the NFA. But you know, in terms of new crop, where does that leave us? So I think eventually ending stocks do go below 1.5, and we're at 1.4, 1.3, and I'll put that in my old crop estimates in the newsletter and in the show notes, the podcast notes for today. When I look at new crop, it's hard to see corn going above 92 million acres because it's fighting with, well, wheat's already planted. And it's also going to be fighting with soybeans, which are at very good prices. And guys are going to probably, because prices are where they are, you know, in really the main producing states, we're probably going to have their regular rotation between, you know, 50-50 in Iowa and Illinois and other states like that. And then as we get more to the fringe, you know, if soybeans are $12 a new crop and old crop is in the high, and new crop for corn is in the high fours, no, there's, you can see it's not an obvious choice. I mean, I'm sure between people have their preferences, but it's not, you can't really say, well, it's all going to go to corn or all go to soybeans. So a lot of thought, a lot of people think that new crop corn is going to be 92 million acres. Why that's significant is we have a 180 trend line yield. Here's the thing with that. We're going to be dry, and it looks, I don't want to say we're going to be dry. We're dry right now, and it's January 13th. And we've got a couple of months here, and you can always get shots of moisture throughout the Midwest. But if we don't, and things just kind of stay the way they are, we're going to be somewhat dry. And compared to the past 2 years, we've had very, very good soil moisture and subsoil moisture heading into planting. Another thing, you know, with that is La Niña, which has been a big issue down in South America, looks like there's a very good chance it can extend into the early spring here into the United States. And in La Niña years in the United States, it tends to be hotter and drier than normal, which is not what we need and not what the crops need. So there is potential on these balance sheets to go higher. What's interesting about new crop is, you know, 180 yield is a tall order, even in a good year. And we're expanding acres where the yield would be a little bit lower normally. And we're drier than we have been. And I'm not saying we can't have a perfect growing season and have a 184 yield. I'm sure we could. But what are the odds of that? And two, there's no room for error because even at 92 million acres and a 180 yield, 180 and a half, using the baseline projections from the USDA for a lot of like the ethanol and the exports and the feed and residual, which are pretty good numbers to use, I think. We're at a 1.5 ending stock. And if we, in my calculation, so we're not really gaining anything year over year, we might add a little bit. Which means there's no room for error at a 10% stock to usage, and you can have some nice summer rallies. So, probably means new crop corn is going to be above $4 between now and at least next 12 to 18 months maybe, because the old crop's going to be tight and the new crop is going to be tight and we're going to have to ration that. And it's really going to take a lot of acres in Ukraine and South America to change that, but again, it will be fighting with soybeans, not so much Ukraine, but especially South America for the for that production. So that is where we stand. And when I get calls today, just to circle on back about what are we going to do with old crop, what do you want to do with new crop, the old crop I'm going to stay the same where we are. Based on those numbers, I mean, I like corn. It's hard to argue for $6 corn. It's our price target for a while has been 550. Could we go between 550 and six, like 570 or 580? I think, these are the numbers we're playing around with in our heads. If certain things happen, if South America stays dry, if demand is good at these levels, if the United States has some weather issues, that's what we're thinking about old crop. In terms of new crop, and here's something too. New crop eventually turns to old crop. And if we're going to be tight next year also, then the premium built into the old crop will be more than where it's trading now as new crop, right? So, but when I talk to farmers, they see 450 new crop, or where would we say Dees 21. At one point, I know it was like 455. We had a high today of 465 in December, new crop. You get to these prices, and guys want to lock something in. I mean, if you know you're going to be farming 1,000 acres and you have a 200,000 bushel yield, I mean, 200 bushel yield, and you're going to have 200,000 bushels, I can see the why you may want to start to do something with 20, 25, 30,000 bushels just to do something, while we're here, even though it's so early. One thing I will say, when we get tight markets, what I like to do, so you're gonna if you're a farmer, you make the sale, HTA, whatever it may be, forward contracting, with the elevator or the ethanol plant or however you do that, and then you have your exposure on the board to the you want to be on the upside when we're in tight markets. So if that's the case with corn, I've been looking at buying the $5, selling the $6 Dees call spread, where the farmer still has upside, and then you would sell something like a $4 put, where if you look at the balance sheets, we'll pro you know, the balance sheet suggests we should be above $4 for the marketing year. Either you make those cash sales now and that's your reownership strategy, you're $5 to $6 on the upside and you're buying back corn at four, or you put that on now, and I think it was trading at 1 or 2 cents today, that whole package. And if corn does rally to 460, 470, 480, it's a lot easier to pull that trigger on 5 or 10 or 15% of your crop when you've already bought that $5, $6 spread and paid for it with by selling the $4 put. So that is something that a hedger would look into. There's probably a lot of spec traders that would like that also, kind of a more of a limited risk way to be trading new crop corn. Honestly, if I was strictly doing spec, I'd stay with old crop and buy the dips, sell the rips. But in the new crop, especially for a farmer who wants to start thinking about 5, 10, 15% of their crop for new crop, I get it. Got a lot of feeling a lot of those calls lately, a lot. Or if we're talking about current positions or opening a new account, it comes up. It comes up every phone call I've had in the past 48 hours. So that is what I'd be doing. When we have tight stocks, I don't like selling on the board and holding the cash. Because as the cash value goes up, meaning the grain goes up, one, you haven't planted it, you don't have it, and any kind of margin or price effects that go against you in the account, you've now got to come out of pocket or use your credit line, or which is fine. But I think what's easier to do is you put the in tight stocks, you put the reownership in place first, or do the reownership on the board, and then you make the HTA or the forward contract sale, right? It's a lot cleaner on the P&L and the funds that you need. And if you're bullish on the market, but you've got great prices, I kind of think it's a win-win. Doing it that way also. So that's how we'll do it. So that's what where do I think corn is going? I think corn is going to be in this range between 5 and let's say 550 for a while, while we go through South American production and see where demand really is, and if exports get cut off at some point or whatever it may be. And then if we are going to go to 6, it's going to happen this summer based on a weather market. Personally, that's where I think we are. So, and that's how I want to position myself into the spring and summer for new crop. I mean, I think $5 is my target. Maybe the high fours is my target for a while, and there's a lot of time left to go on that. I'm not saying we can't trade in the 5 and 6 next year. We certainly can, but and as when it's old crop, but at while it's still new crop, that's where I think we are. And then if we do get to the only way we really break through that $5 level on new crop is if we have drought this summer, which we certainly can. And then all of a sudden we're talking about old crop 6 and new crop into well into the fives. So anyways, that's why that strategy exists. That December $5, $6 call spread with selling the $4 put. If you do it now, it's closer, it's pretty close to even money. And if you're a producer, you use that to either whatever you sold on new crop or whatever you plan on selling, you can sell into. And that's where I would start. As for soybeans, I get just as many questions about soybeans as corn, where, we are in the high 11s, mid to high 11s. What should we do with November 21 beans? Don't do anything. I'm gonna let other brokers, traders, and analysts, podcasts, newsletter writers make this mistake. The way things are shaping up, really implore everyone to take a look at not just my balance sheet table that I'll publish, but you're gonna see others from other houses, other analysts, other personalities out there, right? And what you're going to see is a tight old crop, and if they do show their new crop numbers, meanwhile, USDA does not show new crop until one, the ag form, you kind of get a taste of it with their outlook, and then you really don't see what the USDA thinks until May with their WASDE. At 92 million acres soybeans, which I've had people in the industry, people I respect, be like, who follow my stuff and I follow theirs. You'd know them if you heard them either from Twitter or from some of the newsletters going around. Said, hey, I see you have 92 million acres planted. That might be a little high. Might be a little high by a million or so. Which, by the way, it could be, but if it is, it just means I'm even more bullish on soybeans because I have soybeans at 92 million acres planted in a 50 and a half yield. And I can't, and even with that, which apparently is bearish to some guys, we still have an ending stocks of under 200 million next year. So I have our end. So with the what? So before I get to that, let's talk about the WASDE. I'm jumping ahead. The WASDE came out. They did bring down ending stocks to 140. They brought down the yields a little bit. The exports did go up. And they're the chain. We were looking for 130, 135, 140. It came in. Stock to usage 3%. Now old crops around 14. New crops in the mid to high 11s. That's appropriate. It's a good price level. What's going to happen now? We're still seeing export demand, and it feels like soybeans have to go to 15. It just from the if we're going to keep on seeing exports being, still see activity in export market, it tells us the price rationing hasn't stopped. Like the we got to see days on end of, high prices where there's no export level, no export sales. So that's going to be interesting. South American weather is still a factor. When you have a 140 ending stock coming in, I actually think South American production gets a little bit lower, and I do think exports go up a little bit. And I have the ending stocks at 115. I mean, when we talk about 115 or 140 or whatever, we're getting to this minimum pipeline level, right? And what happens is the price just has to go up high enough to keep the ending stocks there, which means that's where the true meaning, the pure play of the price rationing exists, right? So that's why I, in years past, soybeans, when we get in the situation, trade between 12 and 15 and a half, because somewhere in that 15 area, what's happened is the exports have stopped, or and usually it has to do with the crush and the meal will get, and soybeans will get too expensive, as soybean oil only can go so far. This year might be a little different because we all know, or as I've been talking about, world vegetable oil prices are higher than normal. There is a shortage in vegetable oil too. So I guess there is a potential for soybeans to actually break out of that 12 to 12.50 range just because the soybean oil is so strong, and you're not going to get those negative crush margins if it's just soybeans and meal, leaving bean oil behind. But we should keep an eye on that too. And also too, when the crush margins get that do get negative, that's when you start hearing about China canceling cargoes, right? What I thought was interesting about the USDA too is how the United States might be doing importing. The price here might get so expensive that we may import soybeans from South America, meaning that we have the beans. South America's kind of sold out. The United States sells out basically beans early, and then at the end of the marketing year has to buy some back from South America as we wait for new crop harvest. That's a very interesting change that the USDA has decided to make also. So for old crop, I think we're going higher. It's hard to trade. You either got to buy futures and then buy some puts, buy some futures and have, a lot of margin behind you to take those swings, right? Because even though the USDA has $3,000 margin, that's 60 cents. I mean, we're at 14. We can go 12, we can go 16. I mean, that's $10,000 per contract, $2. 30 cents ain't going to cut it. I mean, 60 cents ain't going to cut it. Per contract on if you really want to stick with soybeans here for margin levels. So then you got to buy puts, but the short-term puts are expensive. You could buy call spreads, but they are expensive. And do you really want to sell put spreads in this market? You might not. Again, it's just what I've noticed with soybeans when you get to these prices is sometimes the trading and the hedging actually slows down a little bit because we do get to a point where the margins get big, the price points get big, the option values get big. And it doesn't mean we can't keep on going higher, but you tend to see a little bit less participation at those levels. The same thing happens to corn when it's $7, right? When soybeans get to 15 and corn's at 7, you do see less volume, less participation. It comes more of a spectator sport. We're not nearly there for corn, but we are getting, we're on our way for soybeans. We're on our way to spectator level for soybeans if this keeps up. When it comes to new crop, I like I said, I have it at 92 million acres, and with the trend line yield of 50 and a half, and the carry-in that I have is a pipeline minimum. Ending stocks are 190, which means that's the best I can come up with an aggressive planted acres where people I respect in the industry think I'm a little high. And a trend line yield of 50 and a half, which quite honestly, we're coming in drier than normal, and we're adding on the acres that we're adding on aren't the higher productive ground. It's actually more in the margin. Not saying it's not, good ground. It's just not, central Illinois or Iowa. What are we? What should the expectations for yield be? So it just seems like with soybeans and new crop soybeans, if I'm being kind of conservative and I can't get over 200 million bushels on ending stocks for next year, to me that means beans in the teens next year when new crop turns to old crop. So why do I go through this whole explanation? For really your benefit to let you know, if you're a farmer out here and you're wondering for when should I sell new crop, I'm saying don't. Like if you need to sell something and price something, let's talk about new crop corn. That makes more sense because we're in corn where we went from an adequate to burdensome supply year to an adequate to tight year, and then next year, so prices can only range so much in that kind of situation. In soybeans, we're gonna go from a tight year to a tight year, year over year tight, right? Where the second year, there's no room for error in the second year. Right, where you can break out of that $12 to $15.50 range in soybeans. It's the second year of the tightness and the crop problems between the U.S., South America, and the U.S. again, where you can get some crazy prices, where you're starting off the year in the teens. So I don't want to do anything with new crop soybings. I really don't want to do anything with new crop soybeans. I would just say sit on it. Let's see what happens. Again, don't sell. I mean, don't sell it on the board. There's no telling how far soybeans eventually goes. If you got to make the sale in soybeans, do it in your local market and then buy something back. I had been looking at collars. I think those are kind of interesting because you are low on the grain. You can sell a, a 13 put and buy, sell a 13 call and buy an 11 put if you really want to protect yourself. But you got to be comfortable with all that margin, which you might need if we explode higher. And, it's also not money you've taken in yet for revenue. It hasn't even been planted. And you're dealing with margin calls before you've, planted the seed. So I don't love dealing with that. I would rather make the forward sale and then find a nice way to buy it. So maybe you're buying like $13, $15 call spreads and selling the $11 put on, something like that, if those kind of things work. But again, I wouldn't even bother with that. I would use that strategy for corn. Corn has more of a expected range. Could be a big one, right? $4 to $6 ain't small. But it with soybeans, who knows? It really are, it could be anything. I remember I used to do these meetings before COVID, and I would have trading ranges for the year, and corn might have been in a normal year of normal supply and demand. Corn may have been 350 to 420. We're building all our strategies around that and how to maximize it. I think I called the presentation "Maximizing Opportunity in a Low-Priced Environment." But even in like those days, like soybeans, you might have a 70 or 80 cent range in corn all year. Soybeans could easily be $4 any year, 8 to 12 any year, 8 to 12, just by the nature of it. And the thing with soybeans too, and I'm gonna just leave it at this, and then we're gonna wrap it up, and I'll send out an email today, about what I like in terms of. Oh, anyone who wants to talk to me, clients, I'd still like Kansas City wheat versus Chicago wheat, and I have some updates on rice. I do not publish rice racks because the market's too small. But if you work with me and you've traded rice before, give me a call. But as far as just to wrap it up here, I do like being long old crop corn. I do like buying call spreads and selling a put to set up for the eventual sale that you're going to make in new crop. So I like being long old crop corn. I like setting up a structure that you can sell cash into to give you plenty of upside protection in the new crop, like we talked about. Soybeans, soybeans are gonna do what they're gonna do here. And like, we start getting above 15, the pockets of air that you're just gonna see in this market, like where were we down? 35 cents, like 3 minutes before the WASDE in soybeans yesterday. That stuff's gonna happen. I mean, that is the game. At a certain point, you get so high in these markets. That's part of trading it, which is why, I either gotta pay up and buy the options or be in the futures and have a ton of money against it. Otherwise, corn will be a good way to be in it. So if you're a spec trader, you're interested in taking some of these ideas, making a spec trade, let me know. If you are a hedger, let's definitely talk about new crop. We're gonna stay with our old crop corn and soybeans we can talk about, but we're not gonna do anything with new crop. New crop soybeans are just really just being an old crop conversation. If you're interested in working with us, feel free to get in touch with me. And for wheat, I didn't talk much about the wheat today because I didn't think the wheat was as bullish as corn and soybeans. Wheat was up yesterday really because of the Russian supply and tariffs and stuff like that, and also the fact that Egypt went to offer a tender for wheat, and basically the offers were so high, Egypt didn't buy any wheat, and the market took that as very bullish because U.S. wheat now is very competitive to the point where you can make the case U.S. wheat could trade up to $7. So I do have some ideas on wheat. If you are a wheat farmer, or whether you're a client here or interested in being a client here, again, feel free to contact me about that. So yeah, my thoughts on corn and soybeans. If you want some more in-depth on wheat or rice, let me know. And I hope everyone had survived the WASDE. I know most of us, if not all of us that I work with, were long in some way, shape, or form. I'm, whether it be, and I'm glad we were. And have a good rest of your week. I will talk to you soon. And feel free to contact me if you need something. My number is 312-706-7610. That's my 312 number. The 800 is 800-958-9470. You can email C. Turner at Daniels Trading. And I am going to try to get more active on Twitter. I know I always say that, and I don't, so let's see if he can hold me to it. Talk to you later, guys. Bye.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniel's trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniel's Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniel's Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniel's Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.